can open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We will continue our study there, conclude the Sermon on the Plain, as it's referred to by many in Luke. It's basically the same as the Sermon on the Mount, just probably given in a different time, in another place. The when and the where don't matter as much as the what. What he said. We're going to look today at verse 43 through the end of the chapter, verse 49. Luke chapter 6, 43 through 49. Please follow as I read. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. An evil man, or person, out of the evil treasure of their heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus said, and do not the things which I say. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. The ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for this sermon that you gave and your Spirit inspired Luke to pen for us to see and to hear. I pray, Father, that you open our eyes, Holy Spirit, that you will instruct us in the truth of Jesus, that we would indeed be free in following him. Lord, we pray that you will be glorified, that we will know that we have been in your presence today, have been fed by your word, the living bread that comes down. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon today is Simple Reality. Simple Reality. Jesus is concluding his sermon. This is his conclusion, you might say. We've spent a good bit of time since we started in verse 20 going through what's called the Beatitudes and then all that follows in this passage. All that Jesus has taught us about the truth of following him that goes beyond religion, religiosity, and translates into a real God-loving life that is clearly evident, that is different than anything anyone could really conceive, because it's even seemingly in contrast to what they had been taught for so long as the way of God in the Old Testament. It wasn't that God changed from Old Testament to New Testament, it was just that there were not clear understanding, and there were teachers and leaders who had taken God's truth and not taken all of it and taken the parts that they liked and applied them and built their religious ideas around that elevated them and put others down. So Jesus has called us to love our enemies and to do good and to bless those who curse us and pray for those who spitefully use us. We talked about that a few weeks ago and all that he said to us there. And then he told us to judge not and condemn not and to forgive, to give from a generous heart, mercy. Then he makes a statement in verse 40 that I want to reference today, which I believe is what he's elaborating on in this passage we read. Verse 40, Jesus said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained," or in other words, is complete, mature, maturing, and whole, will be like his teacher. That perfectly there doesn't mean without fault or without any room for improvement, but it's a meaning of complete and wholeness, maturity. Jesus is making the point, if you're going to follow him, if you're going to be his disciple, you are going to become like him. That's the whole reason to follow him. It is to know him, and in knowing him, it's to be transformed into his image, to be made like him. And then to drive that home, we come to this passage today. Jesus says, a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. A bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. Every tree is known by its own fruit. He's saying it's not that difficult. This is not something cloudy and unclear. He goes on and says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Jesus is saying that it is very evident where your heart is. You can look at anyone's life. He's not saying that someone who's following him has arrived at perfection, has it all together, and never makes a mistake or never has any challenges in their lives or anything like that. But he's making it clear that if he lives there, if he is in the heart, what comes out of the mouth, the way that person lives, reveals it. I don't think Jesus' intention here is to condemn anyone, certainly not. Nor do I think he is causing or seeking to bring doubt and uncertainty about our relationship with him. But he is making it clear that there is a simple reality. If you are born again, if you said yes to Jesus, when you were baptized and the old man died and you were raised to new life in him, it's evident. It has an impact. Now, do you always do what you should? No. But one thing's for certain, you always know when you didn't, if he lives there. The intent and purpose of your heart, your intention, if Christ lives there, is to do right. Do you make wrong choices sometimes? Do you make mistakes? Do you get stubborn and bullheaded? No doubt. But if Jesus lives there, the way you live, and especially when you miss it, matters to you. You know it. It matters. It impacts you. And when there's things around you going on or there's an opportunity, if Christ lives here, there's an impulse. There's an inspiration to love, to share love. He compares these, as he says, that every tree is known by its fruit. He makes this comparison. No one gathers figs from thorns. No one gathers grapes from briars. He's making a very clear, solid contrast. To follow him, to say yes to Jesus, is a real whole life commitment. It's not one that you're going to grit your teeth and you're going to do right. It's not one that's built on your ability or your strength or even on your will or your level of devotion. But it is a yes that I'm going to follow Him, and as He enables me, I am going to live His way. I am going to love as Jesus loved. If that's what's in your heart, it is going to come out without really even trying. He has become your new nature. I wrote down, are you really a follower of Christ? A disciple of Jesus, a learner intent on the image and likeness of Jesus Christ being imprinted upon your life? Or are you just a religious consumer with no real investment or commitment to His kingdom? Or it can be said, are Christ's words and God's will the bottom line and solid foundation in the choices you make and the decisions you face in your life? That is the simple reality. What is finally and ultimately most important to you? As I said, it's not to condemn us. I don't think this message, this passage was put in the Bible so we could all be made to doubt and worry a little bit about whether we belong to Jesus. I don't think that's His intention at all. It is to point out that if He lives there, if we have and are in the new covenant, it will be evident. And we can be encouraged that even though we don't always do it right, and even though maybe there's lots of days that we don't get it right or we miss this opportunity or that opportunity, the fact that it matters, that He dwells there and there's that intention and that desire is an encouragement. I like, and his name went right out of my head just that fast. I like one of the more recent songs that a fellow put out who is nameless at the moment. But the song is called Less Like Me. And I don't know, can anybody catch that song? I can't believe that. What is his name? Anyway, it'll probably come by this afternoon. after you all leave. But anyway, there's a song. You can look it up on YouTube. It's called Less Like Me. And he sings, it's a music video, it's a song about, I want to be a little more like Jesus and a little less like me. And that's a process. We are growing. Fruit doesn't instantaneously appear on a tree. The growth of fruit is a process. And that's what's going on in our lives. But He dwells there. And if He's there, that desire, that intention is His work. His life, His seed in us. That's what I want to do, is encourage us to follow that. Encourage us to respond when that impulse is there to love. It's like the old cliche, practice makes perfect. Doing what Jesus says. Hearing and acting. See, that's what He said. He who comes to me hears and does. Is like the person who builds his house on the rock. Hearing and acting generates, it grows the fruit. And the more we practice, the more attention and intention we give to living like Jesus, to following those impulses of the Spirit in our heart, the more the fruit grows, the more evident it becomes. Now, I assure you that if Christ lives in you, if you have been born again, it's not, as I said, it's not just up to you to make it happen, because you got a new heart. Yeah, some things probably come out of your mouth just like it does mine that you wish didn't. But ultimately, you are heart speaks through your life. Not just a word here and there, but the overall expression of your life. Because when you were born again, when you said yes to Jesus, you got a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. When you said yes to Jesus, you got a new heart. You got a heart that will bear his fruit, that will speak his life and his love. It's there. We just need to be intentional about putting it into practice. That's how we build our lives on a rock. What's in your heart, no matter how tough or hard your outer shell may seem, love's there. If Jesus is there, love is there. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Jesus says it in another way. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? There's a lot of people who attend church. There's a lot of people who claim the name Christian, but they have no intention whatsoever of Jesus having any sway over their life, of his word having anything to do with the way they live. That's not his fruit. That's not simple reality. He says, if you hear my word, if you come to me, we're born again, we hear his word and we put it into practice. It becomes the influencing factor in the way we live. He says, we're like a man who built a house, dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Tell you, if you want a good picture of what happens in seeing, you know, before your mind's eye, what he says about the person who hears what Jesus says, hears the word of God, and does nothing with it, drive down to the end of 340 and turn right, look out there at that White House. I mean, if you want a good picture in your mind, that stream came and beat vehemently against that house and removed it. Obviously, it was on a foundation, but it paints a good picture of what Jesus is saying. It's not just a matter of being around Jesus. It's not just a matter of being in church. It's not just a matter of hearing God's word. It's because he lives in our heart, being inclined to have it influence our lives, the way we live, the way we speak, the way we act. If Jesus lives there, it will be the reality of your life. It will show. Now, the fact is, the gospel is not Mother Goose. It's not that fairy tale where you live happily ever after. If you notice in this passage, the person who built his life in obedience to the word of God, and his life was like that house built on the rock, he faced the same exact thing that the fellow who didn't. Jesus used the very same words, when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently. Now, there is certainly reward. There certainly is advantage and blessing to following Christ in this life, not just when we die and go to heaven, for certain. But the fact is, we have the guarantee that we will not go through it by ourselves, on our own, and that our ability to stand or to withstand is not the limit of what we have to depend upon, because we have the rock who is Jesus Christ, the eternal God, that our life is built upon, and there is nothing in this life, even in the scriptures that we've read this morning, both for our invocation and for our communion passage. We have the assurance that we will pass through and come out the other side, whole, and blessed, and rewarded, because He is ours and we are His. If you say yes to Jesus, it affects the way you live. J.D. was telling me about the man he's lined up who's going to paint his house, the interior of his house, where they're moving. And, I mean, we were just talking, and he didn't know it was going to get used in the sermon today, but he made a comment about the man. He said, you won't be around him 10 minutes without hearing something about the Lord. That's what Jesus is talking about. If he lives there, it comes out. Now, obviously, if someone hears that, if someone were to hear this message, as someone may well do so, since we have it online typically, most of our messages, and they look at their life and they see absolutely no evidence of Jesus. They have no inclination to love beyond themselves. Then yes, it is a simple reality that they are. No matter how religious they may be, church member or whatever, if the fruit of Jesus is not evident, then it's a wake-up call. Because if they're still listening, they're still breathing. And if they're breathing, they can call on Christ and be born again. And the seed sown in their heart, and the fruit of that seed of a life like Jesus, will begin to be evident in them. So Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? The obvious implication he's pointing out is, if I am, then do what I say. Do what I say. And what he's said is, love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. It's not greatly complicated. It's pretty clear cut. And that defines whether we're in Christ and His fruit in us or not. Let our words and our action reveal the Lord who lives in our heart. Not that we're going to do it perfectly, not that we're never going to miss it, but it is there because the Holy Spirit is within us, there to bear the life of Christ through us and to help us, so that our life is securely built on Christ. And Christ alone, as the hymn says. And in that certainty, we pass through this life, even the dark parts, with the assurance that His life, His fruit, His love will be evident in us. Like I said, if anyone recognizes that there's no foundation of Christ in their life, no fruit of His likeness in their living, then come to Jesus. Come today. He'll take care of that. He'll come to live in you. You'll begin to live in Him. And His fruit will identify you as being a disciple. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reality of your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, living in our heart. Thank you for the inclination you bring towards love. That in Jesus' name we may love. Not without that name, but in your name we may love. Share your acts of goodness and kindness, healing and grace, as well as the gospel, that others may know. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.